There was a rich man who was dressed in purple, in fine linen, and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side, Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." And he answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, where I have five brothers. Let him warm them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." And Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." And he said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Now, I want to point out two things here. The first one is, didn't Jesus have a real friend, a real rich friend named Lazarus? Didn't Jesus raise a man named Lazarus from the dead? I want you to keep that in mind. Mary and Martha's brother, who was Jesus' friend. Now, I want to take you to Romans 7. And I wanted you to see this illustration here before we go back. Let's skip Lazarus and the rich man for just a minute and talk about us, body and spirit. You know where it tells us in Romans 8? And listen to this. Verse 9 of Romans 8. "You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you." The promise of the redemption of the body. But notice what it says. It says it as a fact, doesn't it? If Christ is in you, that's the Spirit of Christ, then your body is dead because of sin, and your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Your body is dead. Now, is that literally so, or is that by faith? You consider it to be so, your body dead, don't you? But it states it as if it's a fact here, doesn't it? Your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Is it an absolutely true, or is it by faith? Your body isn't dead, look in the mirror. But you consider it so, don't you? Now, I want you to remember about this separation of body and spirit. The body has to do with Adam, and your spirit now, if the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, has to do with who? Who does your spirit have to do with now? Christ. So your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Whose righteousness? Jesus's. Your body is dead because of whose sin? Adam's. Keep that in mind as we go back here to Romans 7. Listen to this. Verse 14 of chapter 7 in Romans. "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin." Now, is this speaking to a Christian, or is this speaking to one who's under the law? We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. Are you unspiritual? If you have the Spirit of Christ in you, are you unspiritual? Are you sold as a slave to sin? No, you're not, are you? Through faith, your spirit is alive because of righteousness, right? And your body is dead because of sin. So this isn't speaking to you as you are now through faith. This is speaking to someone who's under the law, isn't it? We know that the law is spiritual, but I'm unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it's no longer I myself who do it, but sin living in me. Remember, I was telling you earlier before that your spirit became a slave to the lust of the flesh, didn't it? The law causes a disagreement. When you agree that the law is good, it is no longer your spirit who's sinning. It's your flesh. It's sin that dwells in you. But you know what? Does that forgive your spirit of past sins? Does that forgive, even though it's no longer you, your spirit who's sinning, does that forgive your spirit of past sins? No. Still under the law, isn't it? Does that free him as a slave from sin, the law? No. Listen to what he says. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it's sin living in me. I know that there's nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. This isn't a Christian. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. This is a person under law. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, your spirit, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. See, now we see the spirit is in bondage, and that's what the spirit learns through the law, isn't it? That it's in bondage to sin, right? That's what it's meant to learn from the law, that it's in bondage to sin. I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin. Prisoners Christians aren't prisoners of the law of sin. At work within my members. Oh, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? See, the spirit needs to be rescued. It's a slave to the body. Who will rescue it? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus does. So with these understandings, remember, your spirit is in bondage to the flesh. So who receives the good things when you're in sin? Who's receiving the good things, the flesh or the spirit? Who is receiving the good things, your flesh or the spirit, when you're under the law, when you're a sinner? You're not sowing to the spirit, you're sowing to the flesh. When you're under the law, your spirit is in bondage to the flesh. Your spirit isn't fed, but it's a slave to the flesh. And so who gets fat? Who gets fat, the flesh or the spirit, when you're under the law and in sin? You're a prisoner to its lusts, to feed itself. Remember that as we go into this. All right, back here in Luke 16. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. That's your flesh man. That's your flesh man. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus. Notice the rich man doesn't have a name, but Lazarus does. At his gate was named a beggar named Lazarus. That's your inner man. The outer man is that rich man who gets everything. At his gate is laid a beggar named Lazarus. That's your poor man. That's your spirit. And he was longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. Now look at the language here. When you die, whether you're good or bad, does an angel pick you up in your body and carry you anywhere? Does an angel pick up your body? If an angel is going to carry something of you when you die, what does it carry? Somebody answer me. Your spirit. Amen. But the rich man, when he died, what happened to him? Would you bury a spirit or would you bury a body? He was buried. You see the difference? Lazarus was carried by the angels to Abraham's side, but the rich man was buried. Can you see that one is flesh and one is spirit? The one who has the name Lazarus is spirit. The rich man who didn't have a name is flesh. Who has the right to the name? The spirit or the body? I want you to think about this as we go on. Then the rich old man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in this fire." Let me ask you something. You remember where Paul said, you know, it's okay if you don't want to get married, and it's okay if you do. You'd be better off to stay unmarried as I am, but if you find yourself acting improperly toward the virgin, marry her. Because it's better to marry than to burn. What kind of burning was he talking about? When Paul said it's better to marry than to burn, what kind of burning was he talking about? He was talking about lust, wasn't he? Isn't it better to marry than to burn in lust? Because a man is separated between trying to please his wife and please God? Sinful flesh, lust. And that lust, we're told by Jesus, is set on fire of hell. Death, isn't it? Starting to understand? That body, that old man, that old soul of Adam, as we see portrayed in the rich man, the spirit now has comfort. But just this is what's going on in you now, isn't it? Doesn't that old man that you have consigned to death, doesn't he long and burn to be able to have rule again? Isn't he on fire? Doesn't he long to be able to fulfill his flesh and his lust? He's burning, isn't he? When you deny him, he's burning. He wants it back, don't he? But now your spirit is comforted in Christ. You consider the body dead and your spirit alive because of righteousness. The body is dead because of sin. Remember, the spirit is alive because of righteousness. So if the spirit is alive with righteousness, in righteousness, through Christ, remember it says we're seated in heavenly places with Christ. So where is the spirit figuratively through faith? Where is the spirit figuratively through faith? It's in heaven with Christ, right? You're seated in heavenly places with Christ? So if the old man is dead, the body is dead because of sin, where's that body? Where do you consider it to be? Right now. If you consider your spirit to be in heaven with Christ, then you consider your body to be in hell, don't you? The grave. Buried. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. So by faith our bodies are in hell, in the grave, and our spirits are alive with Christ in the heavenlies. You see it? Isn't that the same here with the rich man and Lazarus? Now, Lazarus, the spirit is comforted. Abraham said, "Son, remember in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony." Isn't that true between your body and spirit right now through faith? Isn't that true right now between your body and spirit through faith? Your spirit's receiving good things now, and your body is being denied? The old man is being put to death. The old man is being crucified. You see it? And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. The law is that chasm. Those on one side of the law are under its judgment, and those of us in Christ have overcome the judgment. The law is what separates us. The law, which is the Word of God, separates us. Now listen to this. Hebrews. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce the hearts of men, even to the division of spirit and soul. Adam was a living soul. Christ is a life-giving spirit. To the division of spirit and soul. And that's what's happened in you. The soul of Adam being cut off, and the spirit been released to having to obey it and receive bad things, now can receive good things. This picture of what's going on in hell with the rich man and Lazarus is exactly the same thing that's going on in you right now, isn't it? And that chasm does exist. Because in the spirit we pass the judgment on the law, and the body's under that judgment, and that fire speaks of the judgment. That is the furnace of fire. That is the fiery lake. That is the judgment of God. And we know that Lazarus did rise from the dead. You think anybody listened to him when he did? And Jesus arose from the dead. And that was the prophecy fulfilled. You think anybody listened? Even if someone, if they didn't listen to Moses and the prophets, it's not going to matter that somebody rose from the dead. And this has been proved over and over. But notice all the elements in here. The flesh, the spirit, Christ, and the resurrection. You think it's a coincidence? But can y'all see these things? Am I reading this into it, or is it there? There's more. We skipped some of it. But there's more. But can you see it?